Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 2. In this chapter, Solomon tells us from his wide experience that the pursuits of pleasure and wealth and materialism are all ultimately meaningless and lead to futility. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to irrigate the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ecclesiastes 2, with some background notes. We saw in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 that the author of this book calls himself the preacher or teacher. The Hebrew word is koaleth, which you will find in most of your commentaries. We saw that this preacher and teacher is most likely King Solomon. He was the son of David and king in Jerusalem, chapter 1, verses 1 and 12. And he was wiser than all the kings before him, chapter 1, verse 16. Who else could this be other than King Solomon? And who besides King Solomon had the means and experience to declare with authority at the end of his life that under the sun, that is, from the human perspective, all is vanity and futile and meaningless. Remember the phrase, under the sun, used 29 times in Ecclesiastes, is the key to understanding this book of Scripture. With this phrase, Solomon, the inspired author, is not telling us the way things really are from the divine perspective, above the sun, but from the human perspective, under the sun. That is, if we did not have divine revelation. We saw in chapter 1 that under the sun, the cycles of life lead to futility, and that under the sun, human wisdom and knowledge lead to futility. Now here in chapter 2, we see that under the sun, pursuits of pleasure and wealth and every form of materialism all lead to futility. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So doctrinal point number 1. Under the sun, pleasure and wealth lead to futility. Under the sun, pleasure and wealth lead to futility. In verses 1 through 11, the verses that we just read, we learn that Solomon decided to investigate and experiment to see if he could derive any real meaning in life through pleasure and wealth. Now, this was not just living a hedonistic lifestyle. No, this was a planned out investigation, using all of his wisdom to set up the experiment, eliminating any variables. Verse 3, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. So it was not just, I'm going to let it all hang out, live whatever way I want. It was a planned out experiment to see if these things would bring lasting satisfaction. But when all was said and done, whatever Solomon did to stimulate his body, to gratify its desires, brought no lasting satisfaction. Use of mirth and wine may have extended the moments of pleasure, but in the end, it was meaningless. Well, what about wealth? Certainly that would make life worth living, wouldn't it? Most of us can't try this experiment because we don't have the money. But Solomon's bank account was unlimited. So Solomon built big houses and planted large vineyards, verse 4. And he made gardens and parks with beautiful ponds, verses 5 and 6. He had unlimited servant help, and he had large flocks and herds, a sign of wealth, verse 7, as well as much silver and gold, verse 8. Also in verse 8, we see that Solomon used all that he had. He used it to have the best musical entertainment as well as to indulge in sex with many concubines. Solomon probably tried wine, women, and song more than any other man who ever lived. We see in verses 9 through 11 that the wisest man who ever lived, verse 9, who had unlimited wealth and pleasure, verse 10, concluded with our doctrinal point in verse 11. Under the sun, pleasure and wealth lead to futility. Verse 11 once again. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Now in verses 12 through 17, Solomon used his wisdom to further analyze his failing experiments to find meaning in life. In verses 12 through 14, he concluded that in the short run, wisdom is better than folly, because wise people at least have more light on the subject and tend to make better decisions than the fool who walks in darkness. Verses 12 through 14. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. But in the long run, what difference does it really make? That is, under the sun. The fool dies, and so does the wise person. The fate is the same. Verses 14 and 15. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. The wise person may be remembered a little longer and a little better than the fool, but in the end, they are both forgotten. So what difference does it make? Life is meaningless. Verse 16, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. Under the sun, pleasure and wealth lead to futility. Doctrinal point number 2. Under the sun, life and labor lead to futility. Under the sun, life and labor lead to futility. Verses 17 through 23. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning now with verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have sworn myself wiser under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Now, we may have concluded in the first part of the chapter that it didn't apply to us because we're not in the class of the wealthy and pleasure seekers. We're just trying to make ends meet and survive. But in the verses that we just read, the whole area of life and labor is covered. And that certainly includes all of us. Let's face it. Under the sun, apart from the divine viewpoint, we've got to conclude that life and labor is futile and striving after wind. Verse 17. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. In fact, if you are logical, you will hate life because there is no guarantee that all your hard work and hard-earned cash will not be squandered or even used for evil purposes by some fool or sluggard down the line somewhere. Verses 18 through 21. We all know of heartbreaking stories proving Solomon's conclusion. And all your hard work does not necessarily bring longer life or better health or peace of mind. Verses 22 and 23. Under the sun, life and labor lead to futility. Practical application. Let's look down on life and labor. Let's look down on life and labor, verses 24 through 26. Now, by look down on life and labor, we don't mean to despise life and labor. No, we mean to get the divine perspective on life and labor from above the sun. And that's what we have here at the end of the chapter. Let's read verses 24 and 25. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment more than I? When God is brought into the picture, and we see human life and labor from the divine perspective that we get from the rest of Scripture, then we can enjoy life and find purpose in our work. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, for example, says that God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy, and we should be rich in good works and be generous and ready to share. I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. I love the last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. That is, God has ways of channeling the hard work and labor of the unbeliever who is striving after wind into the benefit of the believer who is putting the Lord first. I've seen this literally happen more than once. This is all part of the divine perspective on life and labor, which we can and should have. So let's look down on life and labor.